A grassroots movement is, by definition, natural and spontaneous, the very opposite of how decisions are made in the GOP or the Democratic Party, for example. One of the earliest mentions in history of grassroots talked about the Progressive Party growing from the soil of people's hard necessities. But the Progressive Party faded into obscurity in the 1920s, and that's the history of many so-called grassroots movements, a strong start and an undefined end. Perhaps the Tea Party is an exception, since it seems to wield a disproportionate amount of power in Congress at this moment. But what about Occupy Wall Street? What kind of grassroots movement is that? We're joined today by James Marone, a political science professor at Brown University, and also by Anna Sale, political reporter for our co-producer WNYC and its political website, itsafreecountry.org. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Anna, you actually covered Occupy Wall Street's protest, and there was a protest of President Obama last night in New York. What did you see?
President Obama was in Manhattan last night for three fundraisers, and Occupy Wall Street organized this march to bring attention to these high-dollar fundraisers. And what was interesting was it got a really slow start last night, and people were nervous. As I was walking around, there were
in the protest.
The protesters were gathering, but they were gathering slowly, and people were kind of looking at me with sideways glances going, I hope people show up. And they eventually did. Eventually, there were about a few hundred people who marched through Times Square to stand outside the hotel where President Obama was holding his last fundraiser. But you really got this sense that every protest at this moment with Occupy Wall Street, at least in New York, since the park has been cleared, people are nervous about what it says about the momentum going forward.
So they're not nervous about the Secret Service. They're nervous about people showing up.
They were nervous about people showing up. But what was interesting last night was the first time Occupy Wall Street has protested a presidential visit here in New York. And many of the folks I talked to said while they probably expect to vote for Obama, they wanted to come out to show that they were consistent and credible. They wanted to both criticize his reliance on high-dollar money as well as Republicans. Here's Hillary Levitt, a protester who showed up last night.
This one's pretty important because I think sometimes the movement places everything against, like, Republican, conservative, and this is not about that tonight.
Trying not to become partisan.
Trying not to become partisan. So that's at least the vision of last night.
Okay, that's Anna Sale. She is a reporter, political reporter for our co-producer WNYC and its political website, itsafreecountry.org. Also with us, as I said, James Marone of Brown University. James, let me just ask you, in they're striving not to become partisan. That means they're not going to be allied with any political party. And does that mean for a grassroots movement that they don't become powerful?
No, I think both these movements, both Occupy and Tea Party, are very, very typical of American populist movements. They rise up, they express an unease, but it's inchoate and uncertain. And for populist movements to take off, what you need is a set of politicians that come forward and say, all right, here's what we're going to do to help you out. They never are part of a political party. What happens next is one party very gingerly embraces the politicians who speak for the protest movement. We're seeing that happening with the Tea Party. We're waiting to see if a group, a cadre of politicians, come forward about Occupy Wall Street and say, I hear what you guys are saying. Here's what we propose to do to mobilize into politics what you're talking about.
Well, that's kind of happening with Elizabeth Warren, who's running for office in Massachusetts. Let's say that Elizabeth Warren, who has to some extent, cautiously, as you say, embraced at least the ideals of the Occupy Wall Street movement, if she gets into office, does that then move the movement forward?
What we need is a bunch of people who, exactly what happened with the Tea Party, who make Main Street politicians think, oh boy, something's going on there. There's some unease. I need to tap into that and ride that forward. It's a very prickly procedure because these protest movements are very strong, very loud when they work, and kind of scary for mainstream politicians. So what they need to do is say, we're going to kind of negotiate this with you. In classic terms, when they embrace the movement, that's when the movement dies. So they get many of their desires, but the movement itself peters out. Classic populists. We directly elect senators. We have an income tax. All populist and progressive stuff. But once the mainstream parties embraced them and did some of the stuff they asked for, the movement went away.
Well, let me ask you. We're speaking with James Marone, who's a political science professor at Brown University. We're talking about grassroots movements, including both the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street. You know, you've commented that it's been a long time since we've seen any large-scale populist movements, and I wonder why that is.
That's the million-dollar question. way overdue. We have a terrible economic system, a rising and really quite striking inequality, and a general sense, classic call to populists, that the system is rigged. In the past 5, 10, 15 years of that, and you had people in the streets. This time we've gone 30 years with rising inequality and a general sense that maybe the system isn't as fair as it used to be. And only now in the Obama years have we really gotten, both on the left and the right, these rising protest movements. And I would say what's going to determine the next few elections is mainstream politicians who can see through the protests and say, look, we've got real unease on both the left and the right. What's underlying that unease, and how can I speak to it? How can we speak to it? The party who really does that right, I think, is going to be the party of the future.
I wonder if that's the conflict, though. Maybe the populist movement that is here in the U.S. in lieu of a protest movement is shopping. That essentially people believe they have a chance to get rich. There's a stake in the system. They believe it's fair enough that they might win someday. And they just basically maintain their civic engagement using their wallets. And when does that come to an end?
I think it came to an end in 2008. So I think you're absolutely right. I'm just enjoying the pictures once again of Black Friday. But there's a kind of desperation in that now. And I think when you see the economy really collapsing, going south, and having as many people either in or near poverty, then that's the real prod. And you may have put the question, your finger, John, right on why both it didn't happen in the past and why it's happening now. You know, you haven't asked about the Tea Party, but to quickly speak to that, that was a bona fide, old-fashioned populist movement. It looks to me what's happening to them now is the politicians who came forward defined the movement in too narrow a sense. We just want to cut government. Well, people don't like government in the United States, but they like their programs.
And that being maybe why many of the original Tea Partiers are pretty frustrated with the Republican Party at this point. It appears that, like you say, when they got accepted by the mainstream, the original grassroots movement died out.
The movement's dying out in part, I would say, because the people, and particularly the mainstream party, narrowed the demand so much, this inchoate anger and fear that we don't own our country anymore, wants more than just lower government spending.
All right. So, James Marone, your advice to Occupy Wall Street is find some sympathetic people in Washington.
And as Anna was saying earlier, keep out there. When politicians are driven by fear, so that as if the protesters stay out there, make lots of noise, fearful politicians will begin to say, gulp, we'd better listen, we'd better find a way to respond. So the answer is exactly the answer Anna gave at the top of this segment. Stay out, make noise.
James Marone, political science professor at Brown University, and the woman he calls very smart, Anna Sale, political reporter for our co-producer WNYC and a political website, itsafreecountry.org. Thanks to both of you.
Anna, were the protesters worried about ending up like the Tea Party? A little bit?
When you ask them, they're confident. They say that they're moving forward. Won't. They're going to protest a Mitt Romney fundraiser in just another few weeks here in New York City.
Not
so they
wanting
have
to be
plans.
That's fascinating.